Good morning. This is Dr. Robert Smith with a question mark from Ottawa, Canada, originally from Australia, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for January 9th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Liam Neeson.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information this week. Oh boy, here we go, Chip. This week, I want to introduce you to a new product. This is General Mills Lucky Charms Frosted Flakes.
I think it's made by Diabetes.
Lucky Charms Frosted Flakes, Chip.
Oh, right.
I don't know if you know about cereal very much, but Frosted Flakes is not made by General Mills. It's made by Kellogg's.
Yes.
General Mills has taken their Lucky Charms and matched them up with Frosted Flakes so that you get as much sugar as you could possibly need in your breakfast. Welcome to America. Welcome to 2018.
It's leaving the dream there, Steve.
It's time.
In America, they're go big or go home.
Put some milk in there for you.
Right.
There you go. I don't know.
That's
are you
all right.
Are you a big milk cereal guy?
I don't eat a lot of cereal.
You don't eat a lot of cereal.
That's right, because, you know, with carbs in cereal.
Too. There's a lot of carbs in here. This is all a right. lot of sugar. Here we go. Let's see what happens.
What's going to happen is we're going to get like a real big buzz, and then we're going to crash by the end of the show.
The rest of the show. Wow, it's crunchy. I could eat this.
There's not a lot of sugar on the Frosted Flakes. You know, Frosted Flakes, the original one, Tony the Tiger.
They're great.
Yeah, well, they're like painted with sugar.
Yeah, these are a lot less sugary. I'll agree with that.
But you got the marshmallow.
Right. Boy, that is crunchy. That's good and crunchy.
And it tastes like the marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
They are, in fact, the Lucky Charms marshmallows. I'm going to do the rest of the show like this.
Okay, I'm going to have one more. There you go. This is actually, you can eat it. It's not too sweet.
It's less sweet than I expected it to be, that's for sure.
Well, I don't even know if they put out a Frosted Flake. I know they put out a corn flake that you can get.
Right, there's a General Mills corn flake, so throwing some sugar on it was simple enough. These are good corn flakes. I enjoy this cereal. We have to make a scale. Crunchiness? Give me a crunchiness score. Let's go 1 out of 5. What's your crunchiness scale?
Well, early on with corn flakes, they're crunchy, but they get soggy real quick.
We ate this pretty quick. We didn't give it the 1 minute to sit in the milk.
What we didn't get is, Clark Griswold, his company, they make the food additive that creates the barrier between the milk and the cereal. Nice. Keeps it crunchy longer, Steve.
So give me a score from 1 to 5 on crunchiness.
5.
Okay. How about flavor? What's your flavor score out of 5?
I like cornflakes. They're 6. Okay. I mean 5.
6 out of 5. Okay, that's good. That's good math. I'll agree with you on the crunchiness. It is very crunchy. I was expecting less crunchiness. I think the Kellogg's cornflakes are less crunchy than this, if my memory serves. And the flavor, I really enjoy the idea of these cornflakes with sugar, the Frosted Flakes that we have here from General Mills, plus the marshmallow. It works really well, I think. I give it a 5.
I haven't had cornflakes in 10 years.
Wow.
So I usually don't get cornflakes for the
kids. You don't like cornflakes?
We get Rice Chex. We get Wheat Chex. My daughter, who is very picky on everything, is a person who eats a lot of different types of cereals. So she'll have, granola one day, and then she'll have, she usually gets with pretty good stuff, like Raisin Nut Bran.
Wow.
That's
not what childhood was for me, for cereals. It's all about sugar for me.
Oh, my God. We did. Well, first of all, I had my father, and so we used to get the biscuits of shredded sweet, great big ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And no sugar, baby.
All right. So there we go. That is our cereal review for Lucky Charms Corn Flakes. Techno Retro Dads who are into cereal, they do a cereal review.
Do they?
Yeah. We have now scooped Ha 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 ha. There's a play on words. We have scooped the techno retro dads and we've had our cereal first.
All right. So with this cereal, I have had Lucky Charms because right around St. Patrick's Day, they'll release the special version of it.
Oh, yeah.
With the green box and turns, you know, everything's green. So I had that last year, which is regular Lucky Charms is what? Cheerios with marshmallows.
Right. This is without the Cheerios. It's got the Frosted Flakes instead.
That's good.
Good stuff.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You and I both got a chance to see the new Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy routines on Netflix. There's two of them. These are the rest of the Dave Chappelle's. He released two, what, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah.
And then the two more were released this week. This is Equanimity and Bird Revelation. Tell me all about what you thought about this Dave Chappelle special.
Well, first of all, the ones that came out a couple months ago, like 6 months ago or so, they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I'd seen Dave Chappelle in a while. Saturday Night Live, maybe from a year or so ago.
Right.
And I really enjoyed them. So I was very excited to see that I was not expecting these. And they popped up and I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, good. More Dave Chappelle.
And I enjoy Dave Chappelle.
Me
and
too.
As we were kind of preparing for this, between the two, the one that you did not prefer was the one that was filmed in L.A.
Right. There are two different specials here. One is a concert. The Equanimity is a concert, a huge venue, just a guy on stage with all of these people. I preferred that one. That was a much more polished presentation. Mm-hmm. The other one's a very small club presentation.
In L.A.
In L.A.
And I think that we were also, not just when you say polished, I think this was new material. Stuff that he had may have written. Not that day, but I mean, probably
very
a few weeks
recently, yeah.
Coming up, because he was dealing with a lot of topics that were very quick.
Very current topics, very topical.
He smoked a lot of cigarettes, Steve.
Yeah, he's a smoker. And it made me think, as a Midwesterner, boy, can you still smoke on stage in L.A.?
Maybe you can.
Apparently you can.
Maybe you can. I'm sure they have some special draft thing that they are pulling up the air or something. But in many places, you can't smoke right now. In fact, I don't know if you saw, but in the Wall Street Journal, Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds and a whole bunch of the tobacco companies basically took out a full ad basically asking people to, I mean, ultimately they're asking you to stop smoking.
Wow.
So they're saying.
What a switch that's been in one generation.
Amazing. And they were like light cigarettes and stuff like that. They've got just as much tar and just as much
nicotine.
So anyway, they're making all these things that when we were kids, we're like, well, light or better for you.
That's right. It's healthier.
It's healthier to take that smoke and put it in your lungs.
So Dave Chappelle's a smoker. He's up on stage smoking. He's talking about the current issues, all of the sexual scandals in Hollywood.
Stuff like Weinstein. Louis C.K.
Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And he gets to the heart of each of these matters. I prefer the first one where he's more of a storyteller. I don't know. Is the role of comedian to be the provocateur who tells us about the topics of the day and has us think?
Well, in fact, it's very important to always distinguish the real Dave Chappelle from the character he plays on stage.
Right.
And while we like to think of these people as the same person, they're not. I mean, part of their job is to paint, put a mirror to society and then show you either some of the funny parts, the absurdity of it. And Dave Chappelle is a storyteller. And he tells you things from what he says is the black experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very witty and he's very insightful.
And very entertaining. I liked both of these.
I think he's a little bit like George Carlin in the sense that that could be where he moves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that he could not just speak for his black experience. I think he could speak for the American experience in many ways.
Yeah, he's got such a great story. You know, he talks about how he left Hollywood, just walked away from 12 years worth of work and decided that it wasn't for him, that he needed to be a different person. Mm-hmm. And he's come back now as a very different kind of adult.
Well, in fact, when we're going to come back to that thought when we talk about her book. because I think that's exactly what Chappelle was looking for when he left his, you know, highly rated television show where he got a lot of money to be able to do it and basically just walked away. I think he was looking for some grounding, and I think he found it.
All right. So on your 100-point scale that you use for movies, did you enjoy these comedy specials, and you suspect that everybody should watch these?
Oh, everyone should watch them. I mean, I'm sorry. If you're an adult and you're willing to go through some of the language, I think that you'll find them provocative and fun. No, I think they're probably dealing with 60, 65.
Okay. I got a chance to see Star Wars The Last Jedi a second time because I'm a nerd. And and all of us have seen it at least two times. All of us nerds, we've seen it at least two times, if not way more than that.
So let's get down to what the real issue is. Steve had to take his wife.
And my 11-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they both had not seen this movie. Because you and I went on opening night.
Sure.
And we left the families at the house. I had to take the family to go watch this. I loved this movie even more the second time.
Did you?
I was able to divorce my concept of wonder about what's going to happen, because I know what's going to happen on the second viewing, and to just focus on the part that I enjoy the most about Star Wars. That's the philosophical piece.
Okay.
The part about Star Wars that I enjoy the most is the Jedi training, the philosophy, the talking to each other about how we can be better people. And it's in there. You have to get past all the action adventure in order to see it, but it's in there.
Well, the thing I learned, and I remember, excuse me, is if you're going to turn to the dark side, don't do it around Luke.
Right. He's probably not the right guy to support your decision making. That's for sure. I enjoyed this. I really do think that everyone should go see this movie a second time. I'm sure most people will see it when it comes to home video, whether it's streaming or whatever. Very much like the Rogue One, you saw that one a second time at home, and it's a good movie. This is a good movie.
All right. And in fact, you did get to see a comedy bit, Steve.
Well, you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is one of my favorite things. The guys sitting with you watching a bad movie and making fun of it, riffing on it, the three guys who were on the show went and formed a troupe called Riff Tracks. And Riff Tracks released a movie on Friday called Starship Invasions. This movie was made in 1977.
Steve, that sounds like a Star Wars type movie.
It was not a Star Wars type movie, but it was released in the same year, 1977. This is more like a Close Encounters of the Third kind of movie, which is also that mid-70s.
Sure.
Feeling.
So obviously this was up to the Spielberg level.
Well, it's got Christopher Lee featured as one of the aliens.
That guy from Lord of the Rings?
Or Star Wars.
Count or Dracula.
Dooku or Dracula. This is a bad movie, but boy,
He's a heavy metal singer, Steve.
He is a heavy metal singer. Watching it with the Riff Tracks guys is a thrill. I love listening to their take on the silly things that are happening on the screen. Starship Invasions is a fun Riff Tracks. It just came out on Friday. You should go and get it. Go to rifftracks.com. And
in your notes, you put, I see, Canadian Ed Wood. So that says right there, quality.
Yes. If Ed Wood was Canadian and making movies in the 70s, and they were supposed to be something like, again, Close Encounters of the Third Kind or Flash Gordon or any of those movies, this is maybe the movie that he would have made.
But they filmed it quickly, Steve.
Yes. Starship. Opening this week, we've got some things happening. Speaking of bad movies first, though, remember when we talked about The Room? That's the movie that is from 2003. Tommy Wiseau made this movie with his own money, $6 million, and then James Franco made The Disaster Artist this year. Well, technically last year, isn't it?
It is. Well, in fact, all right, so The Disaster Artist may be up for one of the best pictures.
I would suspect that it is possible best picture candidate.
And that being said, The Room will never be up for a Best Picture. It's usually constantly, when I say made fun of,
there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room in the room to make fun of the room because there's so much wrong with it. But this is one of those cult classics. This is being shown at midnight across the country in all sorts of theaters.
But you don't have to see it at midnight, Steve.
That's right, because tomorrow, Wednesday, January 10th, Fathom Events is bringing the room to theaters across the country. You can go to fathomevents.com, you can click on the room, and you can go see this movie that everybody will tell you is a bad movie, because it's a bad movie.
But it's a shared experience, Dave.
There's something about it. There's something about this movie that I actually enjoy watching the badness of The Room. And if you haven't gotten a chance to see it yet, if you've seen The Disaster Artist, uh-huh. you should see The Room. If you've seen The Room, you definitely need to see The Disaster Artist.
All right, so that's a really horrible movie. But we've got good movies coming out on Friday, Steve.
Yeah, Friday is the wide opening for The Post. This is the big movie of 2017, quite possibly the Oscar winner. This is Steven Spielberg.
Stars Forrest Gump, Steve.
This is Meryl Streep. This is Tom Hanks.
It's a guy with one red shoe, Steve.
This is Bob Odenkirk. This is Alison Brie. This is a story about...
Spielberg, baby.
It's not about Spielberg. This is the story about the Washington Post and
the Watergate scandal.
And the Watergate scandal. And this is really going to be the best movie of the week.
This looks excellent. I look forward to seeing this. But what's really interesting is Watergate. Of all the things, there's been movies on Watergate. But they're going to tell it from the Washington Post point of view.
Sure.
And basically how they were, it was a very interesting decision for a person to put this on, to go after the United States government. This was, if we remember Nixon, Spiro Agnew was his vice president. He had to resign over a tax issue. Gerald Ford came in. And then because of Watergate, we had Richard Nixon resigned, and we had Gerald Ford becoming president right there. So it really was a unique time in history. It's the tail end of Vietnam, and then you have this crazy recording scandal break-in, and what can you say? This looks like a really interesting story.
Very historical. Nothing like this could ever happen in the United States.
Never.
Never again.
Never again.
Good. Good to know. We'll write that down. Speaking of things that happen over and over again, Liam Neeson's in trouble in our next film.
He's got a certain set of skills.
This one's called The Commuter. I saw the poster for this about a month ago, and I just laughed at it. Like, seriously, we're just going to take Liam Neeson, and he's being his Liam Neesonist, and we're going to put him in whatever situation we can think of. This time, he's on a commuter train.
He needs Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine a Jeff Goldblum and Liam Neeson movie? A buddy comedy? I would love that.
Anyway, there's money that's sitting in a bathroom, Steve.
And
he has to make a choice whether to take that money or not.
Are you going to take the money or not?
All right. All I can say is this probably is a pretty good film. Liam Neeson usually picks up pretty interesting stuff. But there is no doubt that he's got a certain set of skills, Steve.
It's just the same Liam Neeson movie over and over again.
You never know, man.
It might be wonderful. Maybe it's great.
Maybe the bad guy dies early, Steve.
Maybe.
You never know.
The rest of the story is just him on a train, just sitting, looking out the window, checking his watch, reading a book.
He ordered a steak, Steve. He's got $75,000.
There's a movie called Acts of Violence that is coming out this week. This is about a big topic right now is human trafficking. We have a real problem with human trafficking in the world. This story takes that and makes an action adventure out of it. And
Bruce Willis, Steve.
Throws Bruno into it. And
well, you know what that means.
Some great acting?
That means that Riff Trax is going to have a new movie.
Yes. Yeah, Bruce Willis, I swear I loved Bruce Willis at his height, and since Moonlighting, Bruce Willis's star is really just this bald guy who stands on screen and smolders, and that's it.
Somebody's like, I can make a movie with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
All right, let's make it.
Yeah, remember Cop Out when Kevin Smith tried to do that? And boy, the stories. Ooh, the stories that Kevin Smith tells about Bruce Willis. This one looks fine. I don't plan on seeing it in the theater.
Yeah. Okay. So now we've got one that actually looks pretty good.
Yes. Proud Mary. I am excited about this movie. This stars Taraji P. Nelson, who you probably remember from Hidden Figures. She's mm-hmm. a beautiful actress. And this is a movie where she gets to show off her stunt work, her martial arts. This is kind of like
it's like a 70s movie that doesn't show as a 70s movie.
Yeah, kind of take like a 70s movie like Shaft and then add like a Jackie Chan martial arts piece to it. I'm excited about this movie.
Sure. I mean, but it's a modern take and certainly yes. not that exploitation type of way of
Correct.
Looking at it. This is a very straight film, almost like a James Bond film.
Oh, there you go. A James Bond, Jackie Chan movie. I'm ready. I'm excited about this one. I will probably get a chance to see this one.
Steve, if you have kids, what are we going to go see?
Paddington 2 is released this week in theaters.
It's the Paddington Bear.
Everybody loves the Paddington Bear. Some marmalade would be lovely.
Orange, of course.
Orange marmalade would be lovely.
All right, so this was made for children. Yes. And if you have young kids, there you go.
Yeah, go see that one.
All right, so now, do we have anything else?
One more thing. There is a Netflix series that is starting on Friday called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. This is a series of interviews.
Star Santa Claus, right?
With a Civil War general and a group of famous people. This is David Letterman.
General David Letterman.
David Letterman is doing a talk show on Netflix.
Yes, he is. With his big beard.
With his big, ridiculous beard. And I will watch this. I enjoy David Letterman all the time.
Well, listen to the list of people he's going to be interviewing. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama, mm-hmm. George Clooney, uh-huh. Jay-Z,
yeah.
Howard Stern, and Tina Fey.
That's a great list. This is the weird part about this is they're going to release one of these a month on Netflix. The first one is the Barack Obama.
Which is very Netflix, by the way.
It is, but it isn't. Because
no, it's not.
No, it's not, but it is in that Netflix wants your $9.99 a month, and they feel like they need to give you something every month.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe David Letterman is that something for the next, whatever, 5 or 6 months.
Sure.
Very not Netflix to not give us the whole package and let us decide how much of it we're going
to
watch.
Well, we get to see David, and we get to see a bunch of his guests.
Oh, yeah.
Without Paul Schaefer, that's gonna be weird, man.
It is weird. It is weird. Whenever I see David Letterman doing anything without Paul Schaefer in the room with him, those two worked really well for such a long time.
They did.
Book it. Brings us to our book of the week. You and I both got a chance to read the same book in the same week. How about that?
That's what happens. You can share your books.
I can, because I found this book. I was very excited to find it, and I decided that this was a book that you would enjoy as well. It's called Being a Dad is Weird, and it's written by Ben Falcone. Ben Falcone, you might know as the writer and director of Tammy and the movie The Boss.
He's also the husband of Melissa McCarthy.
That's the star of Tammy and The Boss.
What?
Uh-huh.
How did that happen?
So you might think that Ben Falcone, married to Melissa McCarthy, you might think that they live in California and they live this California lifestyle where there's bands and all sorts of things are happening. This book explains how he is rooted in his Midwestern values, and his lifestyle is not much different from yours and mine.
All right, so what we should first learn about this is that his wife, Melissa McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
grew up outside Chicago.
Yeah, Plainfield.
And she had maybe 5 or 6 brothers and sisters.
As was the thing.
Okay, so big Catholic family.
Right.
Now, Ben grew up in southern Illinois at SIU Carbondale, because... that seems like they're a little stomping ground, a little college town.
Right.
Listen, I've been down there, and it's very much, it wasn't any different than areas I grew up, growing up around universities in North Carolina.
Right.
His dad Eventually started working. He was an English teacher at a community college. But for many, many years, he kind of floated around through jobs.
While he was writing different novels.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, one of his great stories was his dad worked at the snack bar at the
arena.
The basketball arena and the stadium.
Yeah.
And he'd bring home, I guess they had a product that was available to them, Steve.
Apparently.
They would eat drink a lot of soft drinks and eat a lot of ice cream sandwiches.
It's such a great story.
And his mom was a social worker.
Uh-huh.
And other than his dad basically taking road trips in the Civic, the CRX, CRX. It seemed like they were grounded in a very American situation growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the story of growing up like that. And then just kind of moving to Los Angeles because that's where they were making movies.
Right.
And it's, in my opinion, this is a great example of that you don't necessarily leave your roots when you head off somewhere. And what he's looking for his family is a very normal, as normal as it can be, being a movie star.
And one of the great things about this story is he tells how his family had this community of people that came together and had parties and were really interested in each other. That's something that's very American that I hope that we have here in our community, a group of people that are really, truly concerned for each other.
So Ben's home was next to not fraternity house, but not much different than that. A little punk band. Basically music would fire up probably about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, he tells stories about all the parties that were being had and how things were set on fire in his neighborhood and all of the fun that ensued.
Well, and the other part is that they would take these road trips. He's got a great story of heading down to Myrtle Beach to drop his brother off for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And they headed up to Ocracoke, which is the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And Myrtle Beach is it's probably like the Wisconsin Dells for our area. It's like a playground.
It's a spring break playground kind of a place. Yeah.
You go and there's bars and there's fun stuff. There's dancing. You go to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. It's like going up to Cape Cod. You know, the lights go out at night and people nestle down. A little fishing down, riding bikes, certainly.
Very quiet.
Running up Jockey's Ridge, going to see the Wright Brothers Memorial. It certainly is, low-key is what many people are looking for. Mm-hmm. But if you're a kid and you want an Orlando Myrtle Beach experience,
yeah,
that's a totally different world there. So he was, that was not his favorite vacation. Although I've been over there many, many times. I've enjoyed myself.
And he explains how that memory is such a strong memory. Even though it wasn't Disney World, even though it wasn't the fun, exciting thing, the memory stuck with him. Being
sure
with his dad, going through this adventure, even having the bad stories about the crummy things that happened, those are the memories that stuck with him.
And dad would, basically pile him in the car and they'd head off to Colorado.
Yeah.
And mom's not going. No, just dad. But anyway, the time that they spent together.
Yeah.
And I will say, my father did the same thing to me. He'd throw my brother and I in the car.
Yeah.
And, we're off to Austin, Texas, or we're off to San Antonio.
And that's what I really got out of this book was how I can be a better dad. What adventures I can throw my kids in the car and we can go have fun, do things, and have stories that we can tell for the next 40 years.
Well, and it's a great reminder of the difference between that childhood and the expectation of parents today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the expectations on the bad side, you get the helicopter parents,
right,
who won't let their kids experience anything. But on the good side, we are much more involved than many families.
In the 70s? Yeah.
No, right now.
Comparing us to other people. Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, these kids, they have their parents,
mm-hmm,
and but anyway, mom and dad had their life too, and he said there's great things he said. Listen, you don't have to listen to kiddie music. Dad liked Miles Davis. We listened to Miles Davis. We
That's
listened
right.
to the Beatles, and when we were old enough to get our own album, they'd throw that thing on. If they didn't like it, they would take it off and put something else on.
Great stories.
But anyway, it allowed him to, one, absorb you know, just a special time. This was a time in history where the everyday man was, you know, just experiencing wealth. They're educated. They're experiencing stuff. And what can I say?
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
That was before Star Wars, Steve.
Yeah, this was a little bit before Star Wars. But he does get into his fandom and his ability to enjoy all those things in very much a similar way that I enjoy all of those fandoms and loving, caring for these things.
Well, I will leave you with this. There's no doubt that Ben would be a good person to hang out with.
Oh, I would love to have him on the show.
And he would fit into our neighborhood.
Yes.
Because there is something that's just a regular guy about him. And that's maybe what the most important thing to leave this with is, even though, you know, people go and they have special jobs, you know, a person goes and is a congressperson, or a person goes
sports heroes.
Yeah. They have regular lives. Yeah. They have backgrounds that they can pull from. And his experience growing up certainly wasn't that different than mine. There's a lot of common ground there.
And we listened to the audiobook on this. So we actually had Ben read this book to us, and the voice of his father, whenever he was quoting his father, was in there. And the voice of his wife and the voice of his mother were all in the audiobook. I really think that that added to the experience of this book.
Excellent choice.
It's called Being a Dad is Weird by Ben Falcone. You can find it in our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Guess what, Chip?
This that time of year, Steve.
It's
January.
Time of year. It's January.
Time for the white sales.
This is the last time you'll hear my voice with any energy in it, because musical season is going to start. So let me tell you about something exciting while I still can.
Towels, sheets. No. The white sale?
Is that a thing?
Yes, it's okay. January, man.
I don't buy those things. That is not my department, sir.
So we're going to be talking about something else.
Yes, the Consumer Electronics Show, Chip. Las Vegas is on.
Vegas, baby.
Oh, the year that we got to go to the Consumer Electronics Show, we had so much fun looking at all these gadgets.
The toys, baby.
The toys that may or may not ever actually make it to market. There's so many things that are presented at the Consumer Electronics Show that don't ever become real.
What do you think the big things are going to be this year?
Well, last year the big thing was wearables. Everybody was showing off their smartwatches, and smartwatches really did not catch on in 2016 or 2017, and I don't think that they're going to in 2018. So I suspect we're going to see a lot of good TVs. We're going to see some 8K TVs.
First of all, 1080p, for most people, they can't see a difference.
Yeah.
But we've gone to 4K.
Right.
Which basically means you can put your eyeball like on the screen and you can see it.
Any pixels, yeah.
I don't even know what 8K would mean.
Double that.
Your body could not see it any better. Right. I couldn't imagine that.
Well, the HDR technology and the 8K technology are certainly making the picture deeper, whatever that means, so that the colors are richer. We're going to see a lot of that. But I suspect that the thing that we're going to see the most out of the Consumer Electronics Show this year is actually in the automotive arena. Mm-hmm. I think cars are much more consumer electronics objects than they used to be.
I think it was Uber was having their self-driving car, the robotic car that's going to be running around Vegas.
Taking people through Vegas to get them from the Consumer Electronics Show to whatever hotel they're going to.
Well, I think that's the next big leap technology-wise that will probably address all of us. You know, we got smart homes coming too, but this is something most of us have automobiles, especially in the burbs.
Right. Yeah, this is going to be a revolution. Remember, Nissan said they were going to bring out their self-driving car at a reasonable retail price in 2020. Headline, 2020 is 2 years away, Chip.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
And the Animaniacs are coming back then, too.
Well, okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, we'll talk about that when the Animaniacs come out. The scary part about all this stuff, Chip, is
technology can be scary, Steve.
We have a certain amount of control over technology, and most of it we do not have control over.
Well, what you're talking about, I think, is the Spectre and Meltdown, which are two, things that can be exploited in the chips that are in your smartphone, in your tablets, in your computers. And what we've learned
all
this week
them.
is that you can't really, there's no software patch for that.
Right. This is a hardware-based problem that a flaw exists that could be exploited at any time. Mm-hmm. And this is big. This has been big news this week.
Well, that's what we determined, that this is a big type of deal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you have Windows-based or Apple-based.
It is not software at all. It is the hardware.
Mm-hmm. And so all you can do is update your software. How about
and
that?
Put faith into the people who are trying very hard to keep this from being a problem. The manufacturers don't want their product to be a problem, and so they are going to hopefully solve this. And the only thing we can do as consumers is update your software. Please update your software.
Update your software, and if you are going to download something that's not in the App Store for your computer, be very conscious of where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And so things like that could be useful. And that would be the same with Windows computers also.
And it's all a question of faith. It's all a question of who we believe. I need to believe the person who makes my software is working in my best interest just as much as I have to believe the person who's making my food is working in my best interest.
All right, Steve. That's the scary stuff. Give me some real good stuff.
All right. On New Year's Eve, I found out about a thing called Trivia HQ. Many of you have been working with this for weeks.
So what is Trivia HQ?
Trivia HQ is an app. This is our app of the week. And it is available on Android now, but it's been on iOS for weeks, apparently. People are playing this live trivia game called Trivia HQ, and they are winning actual money for this trivia contest.
So how does it work?
Well, it's 12 questions. There's a live host where 700,000 people have been playing this trivia contest.
So how does a person play? Can you play live in this?
You are playing live in this trivia contest. You download the app. You are sitting at the right place at the right time when the trivia begins. The man comes on the screen, or I've seen a woman host as well.
Okay.
And they ask you 12 questions. They get harder as they progress. The first question is very easy. The 12th question is very difficult. And if you get all 12 right, you get a share of a big pot of money. It starts with $2,000 every day. Okay. Is $2,000, and then on special days like the New Year's Eve one was $18,000.
So what is it? You answer the first question, you're in. You answer the second question, you're in. Mm-hmm. You answer the third one, you missed it, then you're out.
The first time you miss a question, you are out of the running for the money.
So there's only 12 questions. So by the time you get to 10 or 11 or 12,
mm-hmm,
it could be hardcore.
And there could be thousands of people who are winning.
Ah.
I saw a round the other day where I believe it was 600 people divided the $2,000 prize.
So the prize is very reasonable.
Correct.
Ah.
Hopefully this will be something that can go forward. There's some question marks. There's always questions about new entertainment.
Sponsorship. Who's going to pay for that? It seems like it's ripe for somebody who needs advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately thought of, you know, Amazon's got a competitor called Jet.
Right.
And that would be like the perfect type of sponsor for something like that, to come in and say, hey, listen, we've got a service we would like you to try. Here, we'll sponsor this for the next year or whatever.
Because if 700 or 800,000 people are looking at this,
mm-hmm,
that is a gold mine for advertisers.
Sure.
If that many people are seeing this, that's double the number of people who watch Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football only gets about 370,000 viewers.
And you're probably dealing with a different type of demographic, though, too.
Right.
So anyway, it's just fascinating, Steve.
It's fascinating. Look it up. It's interesting. You found an interesting story about Grady Davis. Tell me about Grady Davis.
Grady Davis, the troll. if you're familiar with trolling, that's basically for humorous reasons, not being sincere when working with another, maybe. Over the internet, usually it has something to do with internet based.
Okay.
And there's an athletic department at University of North Carolina, Charlotte, that got a positive letter or an email addressed to the athletic director, basically saying what a great job. The deal is that eventually it comes out that this is a person trolling this. He's a fan of a different school, Steve.
Okay.
And the whole time, he's using all the talking points that UNC Charlotte, the athletic department, are using as their public relations when dealing with their alumni. And their schools, they didn't do real well in football. I think they won one game in football this year.
Okay.
And I don't think their basketball team's doing real well.
So praising them would be wrong.
Well, we found out through this blog post where they released this, is that it seemed like the only positive piece of affirmation they've received maybe in 6 months or so. And they were like, well, who is this Grady guy? He seems like a great guy, and we should probably use this stuff. And anyway, eventually, there's so many loops of people involved on this email that I don't know how eventually, but eventually it pops out that this is not didn't really happen.
It wasn't a real person who sent a real letter.
That's right. But they did send a real letter, but it certainly wasn't. It was a disingenuous.
Grady Davis is not a real person.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So eventually, it sounds like we're going to find out a little bit about the background of this. This is, you know, one school trolling another. There's always, the example we used when we were preparing for this was when SMU played TCU in football. The one of the marching bands basically had grass on their uniform. They were shaking it down.
Grass seed.
Yes. And yeah. When the grass sprouted, it put the opposing team's logo on the field. Yes.
In a different kind of grass.
So this is one of those going on.
Oh, my.
And what can I say? The internet's a whirlwind of... It's a playground, Steve. It's a playground.
You can find all sorts of things. Did you... Okay, when you were in college, did you do any pranks like this? This seems like a prank kind of a thing.
Well, when you played the schools that you liked to play. I mean, we had a lot of fun playing.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun playing NC State, and we would yell things that are probably not very nice, that I probably wouldn't yell anymore.
Okay.
But, you know,
that's youth.
But I've lightened up a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun visiting other – it's the opposition. So we had a lot of fun. We visited Virginia Tech and Virginia and Syracuse and Temple. And, I mean, we were all over the place.
Okay.
South Carolina. And we had a lot of good memories going to other schools.
All right. I didn't do any of that in school.
You're in the Midwest, Steve.
I was just watching The Animaniacs. I scheduled my classes around The Animaniacs. That's all I had in college.
It's amazing what $20 will buy you, Steve. You'd head off for the weekend.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you head off for the weekend. You have like $20. You're going, well, I've got to eat. It was just like, I've got to get a football ticket. How am I doing this?
Wow. That's youth. That's all right. All right. I guess that's we can look forward to the rest of our lives and figuring that stuff out. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
Absolutely. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. If you have any information about Lucky Charms and Frosted Flakes and you want to share your experiences, you can send those along. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and every day of the week. You can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Liam Neeson.
And I have a certain set of skills. And we'll see you in the future.